the dark, I fed my dreams. Burn the torch of love like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how feet. Creating the world like it's meant to be. From my culture, B-I-O-V, I'm the king. Black and love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 438 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. All right, good to be here, y'all. Solo this time, okay? William is out doing training. Can you dig it? Folks, you have no idea. I mean, I wish I could express just how much money and effort and time that we put into education. It would absolutely blow a lot of people's minds if they realized that, hey, you just don't take a permaculture design certificate and then you're done with it. It is continuing education, especially when you overlay preparedness with it. It never ends. I'm telling y'all, it never ends, but it's not necessarily a bad thing if you love this lifestyle. It really isn't, but I'll come to that more of that in a minute. Anyway, this episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC will get you 10%. Oh, I'm sorry, 5% off. Almost messed up there. TPC will get you 5% off. If you want to be there in person, that'll be great because I got to meet a lot of awesome people this weekend. And if you want to do it online, there will be that option as well. TPC will also get you 5% off of that if you can't be there in person. Also, Nessus Hemp, that's going to be 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right, so I'll come back to William here. I'll kind of circle back to it here in a minute. Wanted to kind of tell, first of all, I want to thank everybody who's live in the house tonight. If you would, hit that thumbs up, tell everybody we're live because, thank you so much, Craig Dog or Craig WG. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out there and reminding me. Yeah, if you're in the house live, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live so they can go ahead and start suppressing us for saying words that start with C, end in R, and are six-letter words. Yeah, that's why if anybody's wondering why I had to take down that last one with Logan is that I forgot to tell him that on my channel, I am not allowed to say that word. But meanwhile, you can search all over YouTube. Look up that word. If somebody wants to put it in the chat, please do. Anybody and everybody can say this, but I get a week suspension because I mentioned the word. How about that? So ends with C, ends in R, six letter word. Yeah, you figure it out or look in the chat. All right, y'all. So I want to tell you about some of these experiments that I got going right now and let you know how they're kicking. The microgreens, they are balling right now. And when I say the microgreens, no, I'm not talking about in a spare bedroom in your house, although you can do it that way. It's not going to be anywhere near as nutritious as if you do it outside in natural sunlight and give you all the what fors and why, perhaps on another show. But anyway, I did this experiment a while back, and I think I'm about ready. I've been trying to film it for the last couple of days, but William and Emily and the baby are here. So, I'm spending time with my grandbaby and, they're going to be looking after things while I'm down in El Salvador this next week. Sorry, y'all. I had to get a drink of water. Just kind of got dry here for a minute. I haven't been drinking enough today, and it's especially dry. I mean, last couple of days, we've actually needed chapstick. It's been that dry. It's crazy. Anyway, they're out here. I'm spending time with them, and I've been meaning to do this video of planting, for example, a row of carrots. People would just pretty much leave it right there. So then it occurred to me, I was like, okay, carrots are going to take a while before they're ready to harvest. Why not put something that's quick harvesting in between those rows, like a microgreen, or like what I'm doing right now, a microgreen mix? It's got everything in there. I mean, fantastic things in there. And if you know anything about microgreens, they are power packed with all kinds of wonderful stuff. And like Eric Sider actually suggested before, I think they're even more powerful if you don't have them in an inert medium. I fully agree with him. Eric kind of told me that. I don't know if he said that publicly, but I know he said it to me privately. And I was thinking, okay, man, that makes total sense to me, man. Especially when you know the work of Dr. Elaine Ingham and a number of others out there. It just doesn't make sense to me to grow this stuff in an inert medium. If it's that power packed in an inert medium, what is it going to do if I put it in soil with biocomplete compost? And folks, I'm telling you what, that stuff is G'd up from the feet up. I'm here to tell you. Thanks. So thanks everybody for putting that in the chat for me. Yeah, that's a six letter word for anybody who's looking. That's the one I can't say. Anyway, back to the microgreens. I was thinking while the carrots are coming up, why couldn't I put something fast acting out there, especially at this time where people are absolutely, you know, all over the preparedness bandwagon right now. And you should be. You absolutely should be. I probably freaked out a bunch of people at this at the Mountain Readiness Festival this last week because I didn't hold back when I was speaking, at least not with the presentation with Dr. Will. I told them exactly what we're facing and what you ought to be doing about it. And so many people were saying, well, how do I do this stuff in a clandestine way? Well, don't worry. Hold on. I'm going to give you that video. But right now, I'm going to give you the audio version of it. So while those carrots are growing up and you just got bare soil out there, you know, if you're doing that sort of thing, why not put microgreens out there? I'm dead serious. They grow, they're ready to eat in about a week. I mean, that's how these are actually a little bit longer than that, but they're ready to rock and roll in a week. You can go ahead and clip them off. Some of them are going to regrow, some of them not. And you know what? The seeds are so cheap when you buy them by the 20-pound bag, you know, I mean, it's really not that, it's not a big deal at all. So you never have to buy lettuce. If you want to grow lettuce in another place, okay, that's fine. Oh, thank you for the $5, Brands. You break bread, I won't fake dead. Anyway, so grow your microgreens out there. They're nutrient dense, like anything, better than anything you could ever dream of finding out there, especially if you grow it in something other than some inert medium up in your closet. Now, if you have to do it that way, knock yourself out. But I'll tell you what, these ones out here on another level, you can't even buy these. I mean, because nearly everybody that's growing them is growing them in an inert medium. But here's what you're doing in the meantime. So you're covering up that bare ground between those carrots, and you could use any number of other things, but I'm just using carrots as an example. It's acting as something of a cover crop. So you got these plants, no matter what the plant is, it's putting sugars down into the roots in the form of what we call exudates, which is basically a shopping list for the bacteria and the fungi to go out there and get the things this plant needs to thrive. It is like a self-licking ice cream cone when you know how this stuff works. So the bacteria and the fungi, they bring back the stuff that get eaten by the nematodes, the protozoa, all these other things. And when they, you know, they defecate into the soil in a good way, it's now bioavailable for your plants to take it up. So not only is it a benefit to the carrots out there, it's also a benefit to the soil in general. So don't leave it bare, y'all. Plant something that's fast growing that you could eat right now. Or if in a bind, I mean, go in there and look at what you're going to pay for microgreens in the store. Just a little throwaway cup of them. I mean, they want $10 for those. And they were grown in a sterile medium. So I think everybody's starting to get the point, but just hang loose. Hopefully I can get that video done tomorrow. I really, really want to get that done because it's actually going to cover a bunch of things all at the same time. Like, hey, not only am I feeding myself before, you know, the carrots, which I really, really want, when they're ready, okay, I'll take them out too and mix them with the microgreens, have an awesome salad. But in the meantime, man, I'm putting all the greens on the table that I could possibly. I got so many of them growing out here, y'all. I couldn't possibly eat it. I could probably feed 10 people on what I got out here. And okay, let's say you clip those off. Okay, replace it. Put more in. Okay, there's no reason you can't do that. Just stay on top of it with the water and you'll be off and running. Okay, I've also done the same exact thing. I wanted to try this experiment with potatoes. And part of the reason, it's also part of the reason for the carrots, not only am I getting a fast food source that can be ready in a week or two at the most, not only do I have a fast food source that's ready to rock and roll out there, here's also the best part about it. It's also a way to hide some of the other things that you don't want seen out there. I could take those same microgreens, put them down in the soil, and in between potatoes, and I'm doing it right now. And to the average passerby, they would not even know that you had potatoes out there. They wouldn't know that everything in that bed. Now, I'm using raised beds, but you can imagine if this were like at a patch on the side of the house or some other place, people would almost certainly walk by this stuff and not even know that you had tons and tons of food. I'm going to prove it to you, y'all. And it's working like, and you can do the very same thing. You can sit here and clip this stuff off, make yourself a salad while the potatoes are growing. And no, there's not a competition for soil. There's a competition for life. If you doubt me, go look out in any forest. Okay. Nobody's doing any pruning out there. Nobody's caring about anything. And guess what? The good Lord has it on autopilot. So that's exactly what we do in permaculture. We find what's happening in zone five or wilderness or nature, whatever you choose to call it. And then we take it home and say, well, how could I apply this into my food forest? How could I apply this into my garden? How can I apply this in every single part of my, in my pastures even? Because it's kind of, it's a micro version of what you see out there in the macro. That's all we're doing, y'all. And I'm telling you what, every step you take towards nature, you're going to get about 10 of them right back to you. So anyway, doing that with the potatoes, you could do it with any number of other things. As far as clandestine gardens, for all the people that were hitting me up, I can't even tell you how many people hit me up about that very same thing. I mean, think about sweet potatoes. I mean, most people are going to think that's just a vine just growing everywhere. They don't know that that's edible. They have no idea. You could plant the sweet potatoes out there. Don't put them necessarily in lines and rows. And don't worry about taking back the slips. Just go ahead and let it go wild. And then when it's time to get them, you get them. Most people would walk by that, especially if you could disguise it with something else nearby. That's really, look, folks, you know why soldiers wear camouflage? It's not to make them hidden. It's to aid in that sort of thing. They wear camouflage to break up the pattern. You see, nothing in nature grows in straight lines. And that's why when you look at camouflage on a uniform, when it's done right, there's no pattern there. There shouldn't be, because there are none in nature. That's exactly why soldiers wear camouflage and why, you know, soldiers or snipers wear ghillie suits. The whole exact thing. I mean, you're just taking, we're taking what we see in nature and we're going to, you know, there's nothing in lines and rows out there. So who says your garden has to be that way? Maybe do it like a snake pattern through there and then put microgreens in between it. You can keep it straight if you want to, but you'll find out the more edge you make, the more life you make. That's called the edge effect, y'all. And you can do that in your gardens. You ever notice why wherever your fence line is, there's always things that are growing up like crazier than everywhere else? It's called the edge effect. They get the benefit of two different mediums, whether it's the land to an edge of water or whether it's your fence line to the edge on either side. It's capturing energy from every medium around it instead of just one. It's called the edge effect. And you can use that in your gardens. You can use that in your food forests. You can do it everywhere, y'all. And all we're doing is taking a page out of nature and putting it right back into our gardens and our, you know, our food forests and all that kind of stuff. So other things we got going on around here. Yeah, I was out there watching my, we put up a little kiddie pool out here, watched the grandbaby swim, and she's just a little sweetie, y'all. And, you know, and then of course I look up and I see what's happening in the sky and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, man, this is just absolutely infuriating. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at my grandbaby who I love desperately. And at the same time, I'm seeing them spray this junk over her. And I have very little to do about it, at least at the present moment. So, yeah, I'm going to be hopefully getting a device in before too long, highly touted. And I know some folks, one in particular, that's using this thing, and I'll let you know if it works. If it doesn't, I'll let you know that too. Before I have anybody go out there and spend money on these things, I'm going to test this thing thoroughly. So, yeah, I got to talk about Mountain Readiness, y'all. Once again, the best festival, homestead, preparedness, all of it, all of the above. And it's the best thing that nobody seems to know about. I mean, it's not a big crowd out there, which is fine with me. I would love to see more people over there and checking it out, folks. I'm telling you, I've never seen a collection of incredible instructors as they have out there and classes that you're not going to get anywhere else. Like William spent, I think Saturday night doing night driving and night vision goggles. They had that class out there. Find another one doing that one. Today he was out here. They were doing a shooting class. It's like live fire demo stuff. I mean, there's so many things out there. They had like a ladies only rifle course. I mean, there's so many awesome things out there. And one of the things I'm going to try, I don't know how well this is going to work out, but you have former Green Berets out there, like Vietnam era Green Berets. These guys are unbelievable. You know, you got Charlie Williams, you got Sue LaRue, and they were teaching another tracking class out there. I mean, some of the best in the world, y'all. And you have access to these people out there. So if anybody is interested, and it doesn't matter, guy or girl, I think if you have children, I think they're going to need to be over the age of 16 or so. But if you're interested in doing like a 3-day man tracking course, you know, email me at billy@permapasturesfarm.com and let me know whether or not you're interested. There may be an opportunity for a class coming up. And, you know, these, I'm going to try to put it together, but we only want serious people out there. I'm not saying you got to be, you know, the perfect model of, you got to be in like, you know, tip top shape or anything like that. But I mean, people that are there to actually get the training, not there. And it's probably going to be about $500 a piece, I think. Still trying to iron that down. But if anybody's interested, let me know, because we're going to have to put some people together in order to get that $500 price break. Like I said, these guys are highly sought after, have trained people all over the world. And, you know, we want to get this knowledge from these aging veterans, especially from the Vietnam era, because a lot of these guys are, you know, a lot of them are dropping. And we got to get this knowledge out there and widely dispersed to as many people as possible. So if anybody's used to that or interested in that, like I said, go ahead and email me. But fantastic, y'all. Mountain readiness, you don't want to miss that. So I guess after that thing with Logan, a lot of people were hitting me up about El Salvador. Like, why do you keep going down there? Look, dude, this is twice in about a month and a half. Yeah, well, since the end of February, I'm going back. And folks, there are some things I'm looking at, some things I'm checking out, people I'm talking to, and I'm not going to get into a whole lot of it right now. I know there was a lot of interest out there, but folks, I'll just put it to you this way. When we were down there, Michelle wears reading glasses, and inside of a week and a half, she no longer needed them. Dead serious. No longer needed them. I'm out there running sprints. I'm 55 years old, y'all, and I'm jogging for an hour every day. Every day on the beach, barefoot, jogging for an hour. And then after I'm done with that, doing 10 100-yard sprints on the beach, and I feel zero pain the next day. I mean, I'm pushing myself as hard as I possibly can. Felt zero pain the following day. Okay. And then we get back, and inside of 2 weeks, Michelle's got to put the reading glasses back on. So whether it's looking for something where we spend time there, you know, on a part-time basis and, you know, create maybe a farm, a healing retreat / permaculture design course, all of it under one umbrella. Who knows what it really looks like, but there's a number of very interested people out there that I'm going to, you know, down there anyway, that are interested in the work that we do. And maybe there's a way to help them out and also, you know, have an opportunity to go down there. Folks, if you, to go back to the chemtrail thing and all the other things, look, what they're doing to us up here is absolutely criminal, and we pay them for it through our taxes. This is more than I'm willing to bear in so many different ways, y'all. I'm so sick and tired of it, because I love this country. I love what it used to stand for. I love what this country used to be. And now it seems like we're doing in 250 years what it took the Romans 2 millennia to do. So yes, I'm out here looking at some other options here. Not saying that I'm going to pull the pin and just drop everything, because, you know, if the good Lord doesn't give me the unction to do it, then, you know, that's the end of it. But anyway, I'm down here looking at some serious stuff, and some serious people want to talk to us. So that's exactly, I mean, for the people, that's all I can give you right now. I'm not going to go into any detail, because I really don't know where this might lead. So I'm doing my due diligence, and I'm checking things out. And honestly, I'm just anxious to be able to find a place where my family can heal from all the junk they're doing to us up here. And there's stuff that's, I'm not going to get into it right now, but maybe we'll go into it later. But anyway, yeah, that's going to be, I'll be kicking off there here before too long. But anyway, folks, I just want to let you know, I'm not trying to bring it down to a grim note. I want everybody to be acutely aware of what's going on here. My wife is coughing every single day profusely. Now, there are some countermeasures that we have that seem to be helping. Not enough. And it's every single time they're spraying this junk, and it only happens here. Now, my nearest neighbor is a quarter of a mile away, so it's not like their Wi-Fi is messing us up here. We are very careful and doing everything the best we can, and I'm sick and tired of being poisoned by my own government. I'm sick of it. I'm absolutely sick and tired of it. And then I go to a place, you know, in Central America, down there for 2 weeks, and I don't see a single chemtrail, and then find out that once they had one from one of the expats told me they saw one 5 years ago. And practically the whole country turned upside down. 5 years ago because they saw one chemtrail. We see them every day, everywhere here. And nobody seems to care. That's why this place truly is the United States of amnesia. But folks, we better wake up real quick because of the moves that are being made right now. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to think about what's happening right now in the Gulf of Tonkin. Okay, that was a slip. Not Gulf of Tonkin, Strait of Hormuz, which might very well turn into the Gulf of Tonkin based on the latest happenings that are happening, you know, through our government. So basically, I guess we're going to escort ships in and out of there. Huh. What are we looking? We are looking for a Gulf of Tonkin. For those that don't know, that's allegedly what began the Civil War. And you might find it interesting that the lead singer for the Doors, his dad was the guy basically that was in charge of that naval fleet over there. How about that? Jim Morrison's dad. Anyway, it looks like part two is happening over there. You know, they're talking about shutting down the Straits of Malacca. This thing does not appear to be getting better anytime soon. And I hate to tell y'all this, but we're the bad guys. Nobody wants to hear this. And it pains me to say it. But right now, I mean, from judging from where I'm standing, it doesn't look like we're the good guys in this thing. I often wondered, well, I guess I won't go there, but I'm just saying, y'all, there's a reason why I'm talking about a whole lot of preparedness right now, because I have both feet in this arena. There's information I know that I'm not willing to share at this point. I will as it becomes a little more relevant, but the bottom line is, just like COVID was a population reduction scheme, yeah, it was, and whether you know that or not, and I lose people over this every time I talk about it, I don't care. I am beyond caring. I'm not gonna bite my tongue and hold back the truth and then later on regret. Have anybody ever come up to me and say, oh, they're upset with me because I didn't give them the whole truth? Well, first of all, I work 12 to 14 to 16 hours a day, and I'm still able to be aware of these things. So I know people that only work 8 hours a day, if they even work that much, and they have no idea what's even happening in this world and don't want to know. Okay, for those people, I got nothing to say to you. I mean, may your chains set lightly upon you, as Sam Adams put it during the revolution. You know, may history forget that you were ever our countrymen, and may your chains set lightly upon you is exactly how I put it. If you don't want to know, then, you know, I hope you enjoy your time at the bottom of Plato's cave. But for those that are interested, look, y'all, you better stand up. Get loose or get lost, because it is starting to get real in a big way, and America is sleepwalking through this whole thing. Yeah, you think the Straits of Hormuz is not going to affect you outside of the gas prices? Well, just hang on a minute. It's going to affect you a lot worse. And judging by everything I see going on right now, it's about to escalate. I mean, just ask yourself, what if? Because there's already been overtures of what could happen at the Panama Canal. I think it's the Bridge of the Americas that goes across that panel. Just think about it. If that bridge falls, that whole canal shut down. Do you know what that means? Straits of Malacca. I mean, there's more traffic going through there. I think 10 times more traffic there than in the Panama Canal. And all of these choke points seem to be intentionally being shut down right now. Now, you can get more information from extraordinary experts. I mean, prognosticators like Michael Yon that have been calling this thing with incredible precision for years now. You can listen to people like him and a number of others out there that are actually, you know, Colonel Douglas McGregor, Matt Bracken. There's a number of people out there that have been getting it right for the longest time. So if their track record has been extraordinary up until now, then it leads me to believe that they might actually, especially when they all agree and they're not coordinating with one another. I'm not saying this to make you afraid, folks. I'm saying this to get the foot in your butt to get out there and start growing some doggone food. And I don't care if you own the land. Yeah, well, you know, so many people still come up to me and say, well, I don't have enough land. Look, I don't care if you live in an apartment. Go find some land. There's land all around you that nobody's using. And you can guerrilla garden there if you have to. You can get it done. The only thing holding anybody back is really your imagination. Look, y'all, I mean, I got the resources to do it, but, you know, why is it years ago? Because I saw this coming. Did we come out with a chicken tractor on steroids? You know, where you feed basically all the chickens, create all the compost you could ever need, create all the eggs and all the meat, all in one system. Why do you think we talked about that? And I thought for sure when we started going on about it, that people would fall over themselves to try to do it. because you're taking waste streams and turning it into some of the best groceries you're ever going to find out there. And very few, if any, have ever done anything about it. There's been a few, but by and large, most people haven't. And this is a system that's like a self-licking ice cream cone. You know, other things, you know, your ruminants. Okay, if you run them right, same thing. You don't really need much outside of just grass or stockpiling grass, so you don't have to get a whole lot of hay in the winter. Same thing with cows. It's the same thing as, you know, your other ruminants. How about the pigs? That was the only thing we spent money for, and really, we made money on the deal if we wanted. That was 21 cents a pound. 21 cents a pound for the pork that we raised. I'm still eating pork that has a date on it, 2022. So I'm dead serious. That's why I haven't done pigs lately, because we still got, we got eight freezers plumb full out there. And folks, we didn't spend all, we didn't spend hardly, if anything, very little money to do this. I thought this thing was going to jump off a lot quicker than it did. But here it is. We see the wheel starting to come off right now, folks. And you better get your poop in a group if you know what I'm talking about. And if you're looking for Fox News or MSNBC or CNN to tell you the truth, well, you're going to keep waiting a while, nephew, because I got news for you. These people, I'll put it this way. If you didn't get the memo on the COVID shot, you ain't part of the club. You dig? And there's a whole lot of people that think they're part of the club and they aren't. Yeah. Unless you got some off-grid place along with the ultra-wealthy, you're in the boat just like the rest of us, y'all. So you better be thinking about Plan B. All right, I think I beat that horse enough. Anyway, Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Yeah, folks, that's something. That's another little thing you might want to think about having. Some grow your medicine out there, okay? You can do that. And then other things you don't grow, okay? Micronic Silver has really no shelf life on it. And I love the stuff. I mean, I use it pretty much every single day. So 10% off with promo code PERMA for Micronic Silver. Great stuff. And then also that Wave Watch. Billy 100 will get you 100 bucks off of that. Anybody that saw me out of Mountain Readiness, you saw that thing on my wrist, or at least hopefully you could over that hoodie I was wearing. But of course, it was a lot colder than it should have been out there because, of course, they were spraying the daylights out of us and you couldn't even see the sun. All right. So let's get into some of this good news. All right, so isometrics, twice a week. This exercise has found to lower blood pressure more effectively than medication. So what does that look like? I mean, it's basically like leaning up against a wall. That's one way to go about it. You know, you could be in like a push-up stance. That's another way. There's another where you could be on your elbows doing the very same thing. So it's something that it's a static resistance kind of training that you can do no matter where you are. Maybe you work in an office. That's why I'm kind of bringing that up. You know, let's say you got a chair with, you know, little armrests on it. Okay. Maybe you can just kind of hold yourself there for a minute. There's a whole gang of people out there, a whole cadre of people that are talking about ways in which you can exercise right there at work. So just keep that in mind. All right. Another good news story. Magnesium's hidden power, how this simple mineral reshapes the gut to fight cancer. The big C. Anyway, shoot. Hopefully they don't bust me off for that one. Anyway, that's how the article went. In a nutshell, y'all, our soils are so flipping depleted right now for the most part. They're so depleted that you can't get it through your food for the most part. You really can't. Even in some of the magnesium rich kind of stuff, you just can't get it. So that's another reason why I'm going back to saying, hey, if you grow your stuff, if you have stuff growing there in biocomplete compost, if you have your stuff growing out there in awesome soil, it's going to move the needle in a big way. Now, as far as supplements go, you know, I'm not going to get into that. But as far as supplements go, I've heard a lot of great things about, oh, shoot, what is it called? Man, I can't even think of the name right now. But anyway, there's one supplement I've heard out there that is really, really good. And I've been known to use it from time to time. But yeah, you're not going to get most of it. You're not going to get most of what you need through your food because our soils are so flipping depleted. But that's where I remember what I was saying about the microgreens. I haven't done a test on it, but I'll bet you 10 to 1 that the stuff I'm producing is far, far more rich in things that are bioavailable to you than anything you can ever hope to buy from a store that grew it in a sterile medium. So anyway, probably don't want to say too much more about there, but there has been some extraordinary recoveries dealing with the big C, that, you know, that six-letter word that I'm not allowed to say. And then finally, here's the last good news story. May not seem that way at first, but it is moving in the right direction. So this poll shows that 60% of France sees population replacements by non-Europeans. Finally, you got that figured out? I had an Irish guy on this program a while back. I need to get him back on and talk about what's going on. But he was afraid to actually say publicly what he said to me privately. I mean, he came out a little bit, but he really laid it down about how bad it is with the people there regarding this immigration that they're bringing from Africa and all over the place. And it's not even Africans' fault, man. This is all being set up on purpose. They're trying to destabilize all of Europe, all of the United States. And now they're saying 60% of the regular French people are saying, okay, now we see it. 60%. I'm like, what took y'all so long, man? You finally got around to it? Same thing that's going on right now. In fact, it was Michael Yon that was talking about a report not long ago. Pretty sure it was Michael Yon talking about how, believe it or not, y'all, despite what you're hearing from this current administration, the numbers show that there were more people deported under Obama than what we see under the current administration. Folks, y'all, I'm not a political for the ones that are going to say, oh, what are you, a commie? No, I hate them equally. Both parties. Okay. I'm not a Republican, Democrat. I'm not any of those things. I'm a political atheist. I disavow all of them because they're all scum and they're all working together. Just read Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope and you'll find out that it's written there right in black and white. It was Bill Clinton's mentor. Right there in black and white, that what they want to do is create the illusion of choice. Meanwhile, both parties are working for the same interest. And if you haven't figured that out yet, I don't know what to tell you. Go back to watching Fox News and think they're fair and balanced. I actually had a boomer come up and tell me that once. And it was recent. He was like, yeah, I watch. I said, well, where do you get your news? Oh, man, I get it from Fox News, man. They're fair and balanced. I'm like, okay, I got nothing else to say to you, bro. If that's what you think, I mean, may your chain sit lightly upon you. I mean, that's usually meant to be a curse, I think. But in that particular case, it was ignorance, and I really don't know what to do with it at this point. All right, y'all. With that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, same story, different day. It's hard to know what will move the needle these days. The most critical information seems to get the least attention. Practical, everyday solutions can feel pointless in context. This is a bit of lighthearted fun that has serious undertones and connections to the problems of the day and why permaculture is the only solution. The following are the lyrics to the song 9 to 5, written by Dolly Parton in 1980. Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5 for service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. They let you dream just to watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder. But you've got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends. Waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn, and it's gonna roll your way. 9 to 5, they got you where they want you. There's a better life, and you think about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it, and you spend your life putting money in his wallet. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of this PimpCast, a remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, come check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. Boy, he came out of left field with that one because I didn't see it coming. But, you know, I remember that song back in the 80s when I was a kid. And, you know, I never really thought about the lyrics until he brought it out right there. And boy, when you kind of say it in more of a prose poetry kind of style, boy, it really kind of says it all right there. I mean, that's exactly how it rolls down. I mean, even the rapper Immortal Technique had his more crass version, I guess, of that kind of song where it was like 9 to 5, you know, I can't remember, on the subway, 9 to 5, non-stopping, people coming home after corporate sharecropping. And that's exactly where they want us. I mean, that's exactly what we try to do, or to try to avoid and try to help people get out of. And even if you find yourself there, folks, because I was there too, just like so many others out there, and everybody's, I can't even tell you actually this weekend how many people asked me, how do I make the transition? How do I get out? And what we did, we came up with a plan. Just, I'm going to go sideways here a little bit. We came up with a plan where when I say we scaled down, folks, it was 3 adults and 3 dogs in 300 square feet. Okay, that's what I'm talking about, like squaring down. And of course, you know, being an industrial electrician, you know, it's feast or famine, but when you're able to make money, you can make it. And I stayed on the road. I spent a lot of time away from my family just so we could nest egg enough money to, A, first get Michelle out of the matrix. That was number one. Then we get William out of the matrix. And then, of course, I pick up the rear. So how did we do it? I mean, that was it. That's probably a whole podcast that we really ought to do in and of itself. But in a nutshell, that was the plan we came up with. Okay, we're going to eat what we grow. We're going to not spend, there won't be any frivolous spending. Won't be any, you know, when we finally realized that what they tell you is the American dream is really a nightmare, then all of a sudden it was all the, it wasn't with the expectation that everything's going to fall apart. But I will say that 08 really put an exclamation point on it. You know, in 08 and 09, folks, I couldn't find a job anywhere. And I promised myself that if I ever got back on my feet again, I mean, it was tough. The only jobs available to me were in, you know, developing countries like third world war zones and stuff. And I was like, if I ever get back on my feet again, I will never find myself back in this position again. And that's exactly what we've lived by the entire time. And, you know, the whole family did it along with me. So if you got one person in your family, I mean, if your spouse is kind of comfortable in at the bottom of Plato's cave, it's going to be tough, maybe even impossible to a certain extent. But, you know, the good Lord has blessed us greatly. So yeah, maybe I'll have to do a show about that in the future, how, you know, how we did it, because I don't think I talk about it enough because so many people were asking about it out there. All right, y'all. So, one more thing I want to say from Eric. He sent me this thing from 60 Minutes that came out last night. And I checked it out. It was a segment about Hurricane Helene and all the other disasters that go on. But the slant that they had on it, it was like white supremacists are out here doing, and of course they got some idiot cop somewhere in North Carolina saying, yeah, these people were a real problem. In fairness, they probably edited the living daylights out of that thing. But anyway, he said some stuff that he should be ashamed for. No. Yeah, you had people out here, but there were, by the problem was not the militias. The problem was the government during that whole thing. I know because I live here. And anyway, what I'm seeing, and I'm good at noticing patterns, that all of a sudden on the same day, you know, today, actually that 60 Minutes thing came out, I think, last night. And then today, what do I hear across NPR? The very same story. The very same story unfolding across NPR. I'm like, okay, hold on to your hat. This is foreshadowing. I don't know if now or next week or next month or whatever the case may be, but they're basically doing shows. When they're doing cover shows like that to basically tell everybody, well, it's not the government. This is just natural. Look, I can tell you right now, there was nothing natural about Helene. Absolutely nothing. And, you know, by and large, most people couldn't care less. And I'm talking about the people that live here. So anyway, folks, this is another little data point that Eric pointed out to me yesterday. Watched it today, and then same day, they're talking about, it's not like an anniversary or nothing. I'm hearing NPR doing the same exact story. What's the odds of that? Yeah, so put that in your pipe and smoke it. So hold on to your hat. Who even knows? And then, of course, the U.S. Geological Survey came out the other day talking about how there's, record numbers of rare earth minerals all in these mountains, you know, lithium chief among them, and a number of other things out here that they need, so they don't need China anymore. But of course, they'll probably do whatever to these people living up in these hills, because they really don't care about us. They're our government, and they might as well be a breakaway civilization as far as I'm concerned. All right, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. I've been a journeyman electrician for almost 30 years, y'all, and I'm telling you what, I've installed transient voltage surge suppressed system surge suppression systems, man, say that 10 times, all over this country. Strangely enough, a lot of them in car plants, for some reason, car plants and tire plants, installed a lot of these things. Anyway, there's not a one of them out there that is even a mooncast shadow compared to EMP Shield. So, folks, I mean, whether it's your house, and nobody has a more rock-solid guarantee than they have, where if anything gets Kentucky fried downstream of a lightning strike, they're going to cover you for 25 Gs. I mean, find me another device out there that can make that claim. If it gets past that breaker panel and into your house and blows anything up, 25 Gs. Nobody else is doing that out there. They got them for your car. They got them for just about everything out there. So EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right. So let me get into this latest one. I mentioned a moment ago while I was talking about that EMP Shield that I've been a journeyman electrician, an IBEW journeyman electrician, local 124, Kansas City. I've been doing that for almost 30 years. Now, I haven't had my tools on, but it's like riding a bike. You know, I didn't exactly forget it, you know, not when you do it for that long. But I haven't had my tools on for a while, but I still keep in contact with a lot of guys in the trade. And as of late, when I say as of late, I'm talking over the last 5 years. Folks, do you have any idea how many job offers, how many times people have called me up saying, hey, bro, you got to come out, put your tools on. They're paying $10 above scale. They're throwing per diem on top of it. They're even buying us lunch every day. And guess where all those places are? Guess what every last one of them are? Data centers. Every last one of them are data centers. Now, I'm going to tell a story about two Ryans today. Both of these guys I know, and they're friends of mine. I've known them a long time. In fact, I even went through the apprenticeship with the other. I won't say their last names because I don't want to get these guys in trouble, especially since both of them are in supervisory positions. One of them at a powerhouse, and the other one for a massive, he's an engineer at a massive contracting company. And I'm not going to say the name of it, but he's like, if not at the top, pretty close to the top. And if I mention their names, you probably know who it is. So a while back, one of them, I spoke to one of them, and he was, well, the guy at the powerhouse, and he was saying, hey, Billy, you want to come? Hey, we got spots open at this powerhouse. You want to come here? And I'm like, absolutely not, man. I love what I'm doing right now. But he's like, dude, this is the kind of money they're paying. Folks, I'm talking life-changing money for most people, okay? And it's easy work. It's maintenance work. It's, you know, biscuits and gravy kind of work for an industrial electrician. Not difficult. Most people would fall over themselves. And he couldn't believe I just categorically said, absolutely not. He's like, you'd rather be a farmer. I'm like, absolutely, man. So anyway, the other Ryan, he works for that company and he's a chief engineer out there. And he's building these data centers. He's designing these data centers. So let me just kick that off right there with that. So I know these guys and I know them very well. And I know scores and scores and scores of electricians. In fact, I mentioned in that last Front Porch Talk that the last probably, I don't know, 10 years of my career, I did nothing for the most part but data centers. I mean, definitely for the last five, but I mean, almost certainly prior to that, man, over the last 15 years, really, I can't even tell you how many data centers I personally worked on. And I knew while I was doing it, I was building my own prison, but here I was trying to escape the matrix all at the same time. But I want you to consider that data centers don't grow food, but they consume massive, and I know a lot of folks know this, but I'm going into more detail. They consume massive amounts of water and power. Every gallon and kilowatt they take away available, that could be available for agriculture, okay? Certainly for the communities around there. Now, let me talk about that water, because I'm going to go to the Ryan I talked about regarding, why do they both have to be named Ryan? Anyway, the guy working as an engineer designing these powerhouses, he told me, this was crazy. He said, you know, I said, dude, why are they not recycling? I wanted to get more information on this. I said, why are they not recycling this water? He says, bro, I'm asking the same question. If you look at most powerhouses, especially nuclear powerhouses or a lot of coal fire powerhouses that I've worked over the year, they're all located by rivers or some big body of water, nearly all of them. And there's a reason for that. Now, why wouldn't you situate a data center if all you're going to do is run that water through, cool off whatever it is, and then put it back right back in the river like they do in a lot of these powerhouses? Why wouldn't you do that? But they don't. They're taking this water from municipalities. They're taking them from wells, from aquifers, all over. So I asked Ryan, I said, why are they doing this? He says, man, I have no idea. We would love to design in something like that that makes sense, but they won't even hear of it. I mean, it's just, so why are they just taking this water, polluting it when they have ways to not pollute it and then putting it, you know, and just getting rid of it, just dumping it somewhere? Why are they doing this? And he's like, trust me, this guy is conspiratorially minded as much as I am. And he's like, dude, honestly, I think they're just, they really don't care. They want to use up the resources just like we did when, you know, Manifest Destiny, when we were killing the buffalo to wipe out the Native Americans. He says, this is a modern version of it, I think is how he put it. So anyway, that's something to consider. Now, just cooling alone can drain millions of gallons of water per day. I mean, folks, there was a big story years ago about one in Bluffdale, Utah, where they had all the computing power they need. And still, nobody cares. But check this out. Meanwhile, farmers are being told to cut back on irrigation during droughts. But that doesn't apply to these data centers. Folks, ask yourself, why do they keep building and building and building these data centers when they have more than enough processing power, more than enough storage capacity in what they've had 10 years ago? There's a reason for it. And it comes back to the total control grid that I think they're about to drop over, you know, those of us that remain. And that's exactly what's going on. But power prioritization has been shifting really in so many different ways. And they don't care that the people are voting it down. How many examples, how many stories have you seen as of late where the people come out there in droves and they're like, they're out there with the picket signs, the whole nine yards, and the city council, you know, local municipalities, they all got their palms greased and they don't care. And they go out there and vote these things in despite the people overwhelmingly saying no. And I got news for you, folks. When they tell you, oh, look at all the jobs they're going to create. Yeah, construction jobs in the beginning of it. How many people do you think it takes to maintain a data center? That's what they don't tell you. There's a skeleton crew running these massive facilities over there. Yeah, you need a whole army out there to put up the data center to begin with, electricians, plumbers, pipe fitters, you name it, all of us out there. You need that initially, and that's what they don't tell you. Yeah, it's going to create the jobs during the construction phase. When it's built, pack your bags, hit the bricks, because you ain't working here, okay? They don't need people like you and me out there for that sort of thing. I mean, and then here's where I get into the other, Ryan, because a single large data center can use as much energy as a small town. Now, I can't tell you the name of the powerhouse, but I will say it's in the Kansas City area. That's all I'm going to tell you. And I've worked on this powerhouse. Won't say what it is because I don't want to get this guy in a bind. Anyway, the power usage from these data centers that they're building all around that area over there is consuming more than what the people are. I'm talking like the regular folks on the street are. And where do you think priority goes should there be, you know, an issue? Let's say it's an 800 megawatt powerhouse. And let's say they're getting to the shady edge of what they can do. Do you think it goes to the citizens or to the powerhouse? Yeah, you named it, the powerhouse. Now, in some cases, in a few, people are saying, well, it's happening more than it is. It's not. They're saying, well, you know, a lot of these powerhouses are creating their own power generation. Yeah, most of them aren't. And most of them are getting it from the grid. And guess what? When things go sideways, you are not prioritized. So when you get down to brass tacks, farmers are being squeezed on both ends. Higher input costs, tighter resource restrictions, and water permits, energy prices. I mean, all this stuff. I mean, the regulations keep trending upward. I mean, this is not at all what any one of us expected when Trump supposedly got in the White House to look out for the common man. That's almost laughable at this point. I mean, maha has become ha-ha. You dig? That's exactly where we are right now. But even with all that, they get tax incentives and they favor big time the data centers over the farmers. I'm dead serious. A farmer is not getting a get out of jail free in terms of local taxes. But you better believe those data centers are, because they come in there and lie to everybody saying, oh, it's going to create all these jobs. And what they don't tell you is that, like I said a moment ago, trust me, y'all, I've been there at the startup at these. In fact, I've run a Cerner corporation data center myself. I was the one in charge. I was the one in charge of all the electricians out there doing that stuff. Okay. I was the general foreman out there. And I've been there on startup. And I'm here to tell you that slowly but surely, everybody gets kicked off the job. They go back to the hall or they go to another job. And then when you get down to brass tacks, they have a maintenance group that basically does everything there. That's, I mean, it's that in a nutshell. So, yeah, the tax incentives, everything does not favor we the people. So, folks, as I said in that video the other day, you can't eat data, but you need to eat pretty much every day. I mean, for most of us, the long-term consequences of prioritizing tech over agriculture, look, they cannot be understated. It is getting critical at this point. And it's like, I know everybody's overwhelmed, y'all. Look, I'm not trying to add to your burden, but you need to know what's happening. And I come on here and I talk about some of these things and I'm like, man, do folks really want to hear this? Look, I'd rather be told the hard truth than a velvet lie any day of the week. Any day of the week, I would rather know what the truth is so I can adequately prepare for it than be given this pie in the sky, you know, whatever. I want to know, and I'm hoping a lot of you out there want to know this very same thing. But at the end of the day, rural land is being transformed. We're talking prime farmland in a lot of these cases, and it's being bought up and repurposed for infrastructure that doesn't even benefit you and me. I'm dead serious. I mean, this is why I knew Trump was going to be the biggest disappointment in this second term. The second day he was in office, where he gave $500 billion, half, and that's T with a trillion with a T, $500 billion to a bunch of tech oligarchs from a country that's already broke. $500 billion. And I'm like, that's the most important thing you need to do right now? Huh. You could probably save that much by keeping them from poisoning every last one of us from the sky every day. So, folks, this comes down to survival or convenience when you get down to brass tacks in my book. We better stand up and smell the corruption or fall asleep drinking the hemlock. I mean, I really ought to put that on the shirt because really that's really what it's coming down to. And sadly, so many of us, and I get it. Look, folks, I know it's all many of you can do, all of us, to just put gas in the car and go from A to B. You know, it's all most of us can do just to try to keep our heads above water. And they keep piling on. But I'm telling you right now, if they got a data center that's going up near your town, you need to raise hell. You need to tell them absolutely not. Because if they try to dangle that carrot in front of you saying, you know, job, job, job. Yeah. Construction workers, most of which don't even come from your town. They're coming from everywhere but your town in most cases. They'll call somebody like me. Like I said, folks, you know this thing is crazy when I was already making good money and now they're talking about, hey, we're paying $20 over scale. Okay, so add 60, okay, $60 an hour. I don't know what scale is right now, but let's say it's $60 an hour. And now you're going to pay me $80 an hour. You're going to handle room and board and all that. Ryan, the engineer, told me that it's gotten to the point now that they're putting so much effort in the break rooms for the construction workers that it'd make your head spin, that they're even got like free, they're cooking lunch for these guys now. This is undreamed of. Ask anybody that's ever worked in this area. You would never, I mean, they barely wanted to give you a tent to eat your lunch under, much less an entire break room that's with all the bells and whistles. And they're doing that now to try to entice these workers, these skilled workers, to go from one job to the next. They're kicking $20 over scale. Why wouldn't they be when the government's subsidizing it, when Trump's giving out $500 billion? So that $80 an hour for straight time, you can work all the overtime you want. So in certain places like my local, you could be making time and a half every single day, double time on the weekends. And sadly, a lot of those guys and gals that I know that are doing that, guarantee every last one of them got brand new trucks. Guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. That's where most of them are going to spend most of their money instead of saying, huh, let me stack this cash and go get myself a real piece of the American dream that doesn't involve this. I'm going a little bit sideways here, but I think y'all get the point. But anyway, this, when they tell you the money's going to stay in that community, I'm saying, okay, make sure you ask them. Yeah, I get that during construction, but tell me how it stays in this community when you guys are going to bring in specialists that look after data centers when it's all said and done. No. Almost none of those jobs are going to stay in your communities. So, folks, I hope you're getting my drift here. It's getting worse and worse every day, how much we're losing. how many freedoms. I mean, it would make you cry, honestly, if I didn't have a sense of humor. It's getting worse every single day. And judging by the powers it shouldn't be, it looks like they're doing everything humanly possible to put even more nails into the coffin of this country. And you got flock camera going up after, you know, place after place after place. And keep in mind, y'all, just so you know, I hear there's a lot of a little side note that all these flock cameras they put up, I hear there's, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know if it's true or not, but I have been told that there's a whole lot of copper in there. There's a whole lot of, there's a little bit of silver in there and a little bit of gold, I think, in a lot of these flock cameras. So, you know what? There was a time I remember when copper was, I remember it jumped from like 50 cents a pound back in the, early 2000s. I can't remember. It was like maybe 50 cents a pound. It went up to $3 a pound. Y'all, I was out there running a low voltage job and I got number 18 wire under lock and key and the bums jumped the fence and stole the equivalent of telephone wire when it was $3 a pound. So I can't imagine what some of these hoople heads are going to do when they find out some of these flock cameras got a little bit of gold and silver and a lot of copper in them. You know, I wonder what they're going to do when they find that out. So, hey, just saying, I'm not encouraging anybody to damage property or anything like that. But if it happens, I understand. You dig? All right, y'all. I want to thank everybody that came in live today. I'm not sure what we're going to do on Thursday. I'm not sure if I'll be able to broadcast from El Salvador. I'm going to be in a different place. We're just going to have to play it by ear. It might be next Thursday, not this Thursday coming up, but the one after that before I get around to it. Hopefully we can broadcast down there because I want to kind of keep everybody, especially in this audience, especially in this family, you know, exactly what we have going on down there and what we're finding. I'm going to try to do that if I possibly can. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. And look, y'all, you know the deal, man. Things are getting crazier and crazier every day. Until next time, stay alert. Stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life where the magic's alive.